Last week, Don and I weren't even in the state, and you guys didn't have Sunday school, so we're all caught up and even here. Mike Wickens was going to kind of do an overview of Ephesians, kind of give a background on the verses, the main verses about marriage, which are found in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to kind of breeze through that real quickly. This time, because we've lost a week, but Ephesians, like many of Paul's epistles, are broken down into basically two sections. What are the two sections of most of Paul's epistles? Anybody? Doctrine and practice. Doctrine and practical. Very good. In Ephesians, the first three chapters are doctrinal, and chapter four he starts in on the practicalness. So just a quick summary. Talks about every spiritual blessing that we have as a believer. Same idea as when you're a carpenter. When you're an apprentice, you don't know anything, but you've got all the tools. You know, maybe your parents were rich and they gave you everything you could possibly need to be a carpenter, but you don't know how to use them yet. And there's a sense in which that's the way we are when we're believers. We accept Christ. We have every spiritual blessing, everything we need, but we have to grow in Christ to know how to use all those tools. Prayer to the sovereign God, grace through faith, one in Christ. And of course, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 talks about 8 and 9 are great verses for witnessing. We're one in Christ, the mystery of the gospel revealed, which is basically there's no Jews, there's no slaves, there's no men, there's no women. We're all the same. We're all equal in Christ. And prayer for spiritual strength and the unity of the body, the new life, walk in love, and then very specific about husbands and wives, kids and parents, slaves and masters, and the armor of God at the end of chapter 6. So that's a quick summary. Now I'm just going to read Ephesians 5:17 through 33. The portion about husbands and wives starts on verse 22, but the 17 will give us a little bit of background. I got new glasses, so I'm trying to figure out if I can keep them on and wear them or not. And read. Therefore, do not be foolish. We're looking at Ephesians 5, 17 through 33. For those who want to follow along, I am reading in the ESV. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we're going to be talking about wives submitting to their husbands today, but remember, the scripture also talks to us in many places about submitting to one another as believers out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, next week we're going to talk about husbands. So don't you husbands get too, you know, cocky here. Your turn comes. Now, I had a woman 6 years ago, was the last time I taught this class, who was, I don't want to say offended, but was curious, why was I picking on the wives first? Anybody want to tell me why I'm picking on the wives first? Because that's the order in Scripture. So, you know, he could have chosen to do husbands first, in which case then I would have done husbands first. But that's not the way it is in Ephesians. So, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Remember, we talked about one flesh. We're a team. We're one. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Again, we spent a lot of time on this 2 weeks ago discussing those verses from Genesis that were quoted a total of four times in the scripture. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So going on now to the wife's responsibilities, the wife is to complete or complement her husband. Most couples marry with high expectations, but often it's not long before those expectations are replaced with frustration. Now, anybody have an opinion of which the husband or wife is usually, not always, I'm going to say a lot of things that are generalizations, either picking on men or women, and we understand there are exceptions. So generalization, maybe 80% of the time or 75% of the time, men or women fall in a particular category, but it's not true of everybody, so keep that in mind. But in general, which husband or wife do you think is more likely to be frustrated that their expectations weren't met? Wives, yeah. And that's just something about guys. You're like, hey, you know, this is what do you want, you know? And the wives have all kinds of thoughts of, man, he's going to be like this. Or, unfortunately, guys, I mean, admit it, we were kind of super special when recording him, trying to catch him, right? And then we catch him, and then it's like we kind of back off. I mean, I'm afraid that's kind of natural, so we need to be careful on that. And it's at whatever stage of marriage you're at, not married, newly married, married for 40 years, it doesn't matter. We need to be conscious of that. But it is often the wives that feel that way the most. So what happened? What happened? And husbands can have the false expectations too. So what happens to people when they have these expectations? What do you think? Any ideas? Well, that's true. But the reality of it is probably neither spouse, if the husband isn't being a great husband, and the wives have a fairy tale, a view of what's going to happen, it's because they're not in the Word. They're not trusting God to lead them. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Tavis is playing with the thing back there. So, neither spouse learned to live their lives or marriage by the guidance of God's Word. When two people know, accept, and fulfill their varying but complementary responsibilities, oneness in marriage is possible. Otherwise, confusion and frustration will result. Now, again, I said we're going to hit the wives here pretty hard, but next week, guys, be sure to come back. Your wives will be here for sure, so you guys be sure to come too. Okay. The wife is to be subject to her husband. A frequent command in Scripture is for her to submit, obey, or be in subjection to her husband. Does anybody have like an iPad or an iPhone where they could read a bunch of verses quickly for me? Anybody want to? Oh, John, what? All of those.
All right, I go back and do Titus, and then you do First Peter, unless you want to switch to the left.
All right.
Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And in verse 33, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord.
Titus 2:4-5. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled.
And interesting, the word love in the verse that John just read is phileo. So it's the brotherly, it's not just the agape, which we know that's the main word that the Bible uses for our sacrificial love for our spouse. But in this case, the older women are teaching younger women to love your husbands in that respect as well. And then since it's not just Paul saying these things, we have Dan's going to read 1 Peter 3.
Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are children, you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening.
Thank you, guys. So the Greek words used, we won't really go into it, but basically mean under and yield, or to yield, is to be subject and submit. Now, this isn't a very popular concept today. It wasn't really popular when Dawn and I got married, and I told this story 6 years ago. She didn't remember it, but she's going to have to trust me that it was true. Well, it's nothing bad against Dawn. It's just her memory. We wrote our own vows, and then we set them from memory, which in retrospect was one of the stupidest things. And I think it was probably my idea, right? Of course, she had no problem memorizing. One of us, probably me, skipped like two lines. But anyway, we got through it. But one of the things that Dawn's vow said was that to submit to me. And her sister and sister-in-law were both like, you don't want to say that. You don't want that in your vows. And I mean, they were opposed to her saying that. Of course she did, but because she was being biblical. Do you remember that? No, you didn't. Yeah, trust me, it happened. Sweetheart, who has a better memory? Thank you. She said you do, in case you didn't hear it. But so a frequent command in Scripture, as we just saw, is to submit, obey, or be in subjection to the husband. Let's see. Any, just really quick, any ideas why this isn't popular today?
Well, we live in an egalitarian society. Everybody's supposed to be equal.
Yep.
So the idea of submitting is so saying you're superior or no lesser.
Right. And that's not the case. And we're going to see that, but yes, you're exactly right. And there are even churches that are kind of egalitarian, means the man and woman are equal. Equalitarian, which is a word that's used by Wayne Mack, refers to the fact that in Christ's view, we are equal, but we have different roles. Just like the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are equal, but they have different roles. Jim? Jim?
Started in the
70s, yeah. Yep. And unfortunately, it's been too much brought over into the church.
Wouldn't you guess this was also difficult in the New Testament time? It's just human nature to not want to submit to someone else.
Sure, but maybe in the New Testament times, the wife was more like a slave. And so they were really getting a promotion from the culture. But, you know, maybe the husbands didn't make the switch to more of submitting, not being a slave. But, yeah, I'm sure it's always been hard and for human nature. But let's look at what biblical submission is not. It is not merely a concept for women, but all believers. I think we have time. We need to look at some of these verses. We've already read Ephesians 5:21. Let's see how quickly I can do this without turning the speaker on, right? Look at Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. This is to both of us. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. 1 Peter 5:5.
May I?
Sure, please.
Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Good. And so, you see, the whole submissive subject is not just between husband and wife, but there's other roles in the church, elder and younger, as well. In Romans 13:1, Dan, if you want to look up Hebrews 13:17 while I get Romans here. Okay, please.
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God.
Okay, so the whole idea of we are subject to the authorities over us, and even those that we, at times of Rome, boy, they were worse than our government. Okay, so that's something that's very interesting. And Dan?
Yes. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you.
And in this particular verse, we're talking about the church leaders. So not the politics, but our church. Interesting, in business and in the military, sometimes you see this abused. And sometimes you see it in a very good way. I think in the U.S. military, there's a tendency that the top, the officers, is overweighted. And they have I'm the boss, therefore do it my way. Whereas in Israel, in the IDF, there's a whole different attitude. They have many fewer officers, but they have people from all different walks of life and abilities. And the story related to us by one of our bus drivers, who was an Arab Israeli who had also served in the IDF and was still serving his 2 weeks and a weekend or whatever they do over there, told stories of how the general had said, we need to do it this way. And a private, literally a private, who knew what they were talking about better, said, no, we need to do it. The Israelis, they're very in your face and very direct. And the general thinks about it and goes, you're right, let's do it that way. Not going to see that too much in the U.S., but that's really, if the general made the final decision, which is kind of like what the husbands have to do. You have to make the final decision, but you got to listen to your wives. They have a lot of good of information, so it's not just, you're not just pounding it and making them a slave or anything like that. The wife is not a slave. She is actually more free to become all God intended her to become, consider God's ideal wife. In Proverbs 31:10-31, I'd sure like to read that. Somebody have that? Because while we're talking about the whole submit, let's see what God talks about the ideal wife. Jared?
An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the staff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue.
She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates.
Okay, now, I don't know. I haven't studied that in depth, but I don't know if that's a real person or just kind of the ideal person, which is like, you know, we're to emulate Christ, but, you know, good luck actually getting to that point. But the idea is these are all the things that women can do and should and be free to do under the authority, if you will, of her husband. It does not mean, as we heard Jared read, it does not mean that the wife never opens her mouth, never gives advice, or never has an opinion. And we already read that she does just speak. And husbands, you need to take her advice, because a lot of times she knows stuff we don't, and she has a better insight, and you have to listen to her. And I won't give you the example, but there was one time when Dawn gently, sweetly gave me some advice, and I didn't follow it, and we paid for it for years. But, you know, that's the way it goes. We both learned through that situation. But biblical submission does not mean that a wife becomes a wallflower who folds up and allows her abilities to lie dormant. Again, we see that in Proverbs 31. It does not mean that a wife is inferior. Just as Jeff just mentioned recently, it's nothing to do with inferiority. Jesus was not inferior to his parents, yet Luke 2:51 talks about Jesus submitting or being subject to his parents. He was 12 years old only, but nonetheless, he was God, and he was subject to his parents. He continued in subjection to them, is the wording in Luke there. God is the head of Christ. This does not imply that Christ is inferior to God the Father. Similarly, the submission of the wife in no way implies inferiority. Instead, it teaches a necessity for order and structure, for a division of responsibility within the home. Going back to the IDF example, there was a general, there was a private, but the private had the better idea, and the general bought off on it and followed it. Did I go the wrong way?
No. Go back. That was correct.
Oh. What biblical submission is? Oh. Okay, thank you. I'm losing my thing here. Okay. Now let's look at what biblical submission is. Scripture indicates that it is the wife's responsibility to make herself submissive. Okay, it's not the husband's job to make her submissive, either verbally or physically. It is the wife's responsibility. She will be ultimately, before God, for what she has done, just like you as a husband will be before God and how you treated your wife. The wife is commanded to make herself submissive. Again, we can see that in Ephesians 5:22 and 1 Peter 3:1. Scripture indicates that the wife's submission is to be continuous. This isn't just a now and then and sometimes when I feel like it, but it's continuous. Wifely submission is mandatory. It's not optional. It's not based on the way her husband treats her, nor is it to be conditional on the husband's abilities, talents, wisdom, education, or spiritual state. Again, look at Jesus submitting to his parents. This can be hard, can it? I mean, even a good marriage, a good godly marriage, it's hard sometimes when you both have different ideas. But the husband's job is to do his best to lovingly do what's best for the wife and the family. And it's the wife's job to submit when she needs to. Now, I'm afraid, I know what Scott's going to ask, so I'm going to go ahead and say this, and then you can ask. But this does not apply if the husband commands what God forbids, or if he tries to keep her from doing what God commands, or if he puts her in physical danger. So, you know, follow God, not man. Scott was...
The difficulty is the term submission is different in the world than it is in biblical perspective. So, if the believer looks at what the term submissive from a world perspective, it doesn't correlate to what the biblical perspective is.
Sure, that's because the world has an opinion on it, and they just project that onto. If you're not a believer, I don't think you can, either a husband or a wife, if you're not a believer, you can't comprehend this. Well, if you're a husband, you might say, yeah, submit to me. But as a rule, you're not going to love your wife properly if you're not a believer, and you're not going to submit to your husband properly if you're not a believer. But yes, that is a problem. And when you have people that aren't believers that maybe go to church, they would struggle with that. As opposed to a biblical believer. Brent?
Yeah, the world says that submission is subjugation.
Yeah.
That's not what submission is in biblical
right.
terms.
Right.
Submission is kind of a choice because of what Christ did for us. I love my wife because Christ loved me first.
Yep.
And we chose to enter into that relationship.
Yep. Again. Yep, very good.
Obviously, God has a positive view. Submission is submission within the Trinity.
Yep, absolutely. It's just different roles. So that's really good. Wifely submission is also a spiritual matter. It is to be done as to the Lord, Ephesians 5:22. Refusal to submit to the husband is therefore rebellion against God. It's a test of her love for God and for her husband. Submission is an act of obedience to Christ. Now, that would be really hard for an unbeliever to follow, and I think it's hard for a believer sometimes, but we really need to look into the Word and feel comfortable that, you know, even though maybe our husband's not got everything right, which I know none of us do. Lord's looking at how you respond and how you react, and that's going to be, you know, your reward in heaven, if you will. Biblical submission seems only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:17-21 talks about being filled by the Holy Spirit. Submission is a positive, not a negative concept, in that it emphasizes what a wife should do, not what a wife should not do. A good definition of submission, the freedom to be creative under divinely appointed authority. Remember, the husband and the wife are a team. Submission involves the wife's attitude as well as her actions. You must strive to be a cheerful submitter. That can become difficult, right? And to pick on my own wife, and remember, I'm not that great of a husband. So I'm just, you know, today we pick on Dawn because we're talking about wives. But sometimes she's submissive. Well, she's always submissive, but sometimes you can see in her face she's cheerfully submissive and sometimes she's not so cheerfully submissive. Was that a fair statement? Okay. Ephesians 5:33 says, let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. It would be difficult for a woman to have a submissive attitude if she doesn't have respect for her husband. Now, we're going to cover in detail after next week and in the coming weeks how a woman can show respect to her husband as well as how a man can show his love to his wife. A saying in business is attitude is everything. Well, as believers, I think we would say that Jesus Christ is everything, but attitude is real important, and we certainly see that in our Christian lives, a husband, his wives, and all that we do is our attitude is important. That's important to the Lord. Wifely submission is to be extensive. She is to be subject unto her husband as the church is to Christ. So, yeah, Dan.
Number six, that it involves the attitude.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the commands of children. They're commanded to obey, and then secondly commanded also to honor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, Paul could have used similar words there, but this is what God told him to use, submission attitude. So it's just different. Kids, they can obey and not be honoring us at all.
Yeah.
But the submission really involves the heart.
Sure.
That as well.
So how extensive should the submission of the church be to Christ? Well, it's total submission. And so, and there's several verses that we could look at on that. But the wives are to be subject to their husbands in everything. So everything. But remember, that does not apply if the husband commands what God forbids, or if the husband won't let you do something God commands, or if there's any kind of physical or verbal abuse there. That's not in the game. We're talking about then you need to be following God rather than man. Okay. The wife is to be subject to her husband. The wife is to be her husband's helper. She is not to being submit. She is not being submissive or a helper if she manifests a contentious, inconsiderate, uncooperative, disrespectful spirit. So it's attitude and actions. God made the woman to be man's helper. God made the woman to be a suitable helper. God created the woman to be to correspond to man. If we guys were so perfect, we wouldn't have needed a helper in the beginning, right? So, I mean, God saw even in the perfect Adam that he didn't have it all. He needed a helper, and that helper was Eve, and it's our wife. The wife is made to fulfill the needs, the lacks, and the inadequacies of her husband. So every one of you that's married, you probably know that you've got some strengths and your wife's got some strengths, and you really need to work together to bounce off of each other. John?
I think it's interesting that in Genesis, the first time it says that something was not good, it's God says it's not good for the man to be alone. And it's before the fall. So we tend to think of, oh, not good, that's evil, that's sin, but that's not the situation there. It was not good
right.
for the man to be alone.
Right. Okay, to do him good, Proverbs 31:12. Jared already read that, and like a fruitful vine, we see in Psalms. This does not mean that everything she does must have a direct connection to her husband. Okay, so we're not saying that she's just waiting there for orders from her husband, maybe like a private in the military kind of is. And Proverbs 31 explains very well that there is a lot of things the woman can do, should do, will do, but it all kind of needs to be under the guidance and authority of the husband. A good husband is going to know where his wife has talents. My wife is great with teaching the women involved with Titus 2, women's Bible studies, and she would be discouraged, just like what Gary was talking about today in the message at times. And I try and tell her, you are doing very, very well. You need to keep doing that. Just because one lady said something negative or people didn't show up to an event, that doesn't matter. What you're doing is a good thing, and it encouraged her to go on, I think, right? We've had that. But at the same time, though that's true, and she can certainly do things for her own benefit, the benefit of others, including outside the home. That's definitely all, again, Proverbs 31 talks about all that. But again, you're a team, so work together, so that you're not like both out and leaving the kids home alone when they're, 5 and 6 or something like that. That's supposed to be a joke. There you go, okay. but she should never do anything harmful to her husband or cause her to neglect her responsibility of helping her husband. So it's kind of a two-way street there. So how can a wife help her husband? Any thoughts from the class? Joyce.
Being available. Being flexible.
Okay. Okay. Christina?
I had a married lady once tell me, if your husband asks you to do something, then that becomes top of your list kind of thing. Not like, oh yeah, I'll get to that later. Now, if it's his priority, it becomes my priority.
Okay. If he's a godly husband, right?
Yeah.
And we have to remember that we're not... If we're talking about, some tyrant of a husband, we're talking about where you have a godly marriage. And still, no matter how godly you guys are, and Dawn and I are, we still have our conflicts, and we get, the pride. I thought what Gary talked about today could really fit into the whole marriage deal. We deal with that all the time. And sometimes it's almost like the one you love the most, you get your back up the most. So we all have to be careful on it. Any other thoughts? Any other things? Sarah?
But the problem comes in when your spouse isn't right, and when they aren't handling right, that doesn't get the woman off the hook.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. As long as it's not against God, yes. Yep, yep.
So if it is his priority and it's ridiculous, you still have to, should. To be a yep. godly wife,
yep.
go ahead and do it. And
But you know, you can.
The problem is your attitude has to be right, too, and right. supportive. And, you know, even if your friends all look at you and go, why? And then it's like, and you can't say anything because you're being supportive and enthusiastic about it. And it's like, that's when it's hard. And it's
yes. That's when you call Mike Wickens and you suggest, darling, maybe we need to just go, just have a little counseling, just to work some things out. Joyce?
That's true, but and maybe you're having the scripture later, but 1 Peter 3, 5, and 6, when this sunk into me, made a huge difference. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. So hope and fear are very powerful. And when he's making a choice that you know is wrong, but he's not budging, and so you submit.
Jim? Yep.
My mission first is to God. My hope is to
Yep.
And knowing that even if he's making the wrong choice, God's going to use us for good.
Right. 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 And how you deal with that, maybe earning you crowns in heaven, and the hubby might be losing crowns. I mean, you know, it's just. All right, Christina, you're the last one. I'm going to give you my list.
So off of what Sarah said, me thinking his idea is ridiculous doesn't mean his idea is wrong.
That's true.
Yeah.
It just may mean it's not what I would.
Yep. Yep. That's a good point. Good. All right, let's see what all the things that Wayne Mack came up with as possibilities. We'll just read through these, and then you can discuss afterwards anything on here. But make the home a safe place. As a guy who was a leader in a department for 17 years, you know, no matter how great my guys were, I mean, when you're not the leader, they're always trying to get you to do something. And so you come home from a day of dealing with that stuff, you want the house to be safe and the wife to be supportive. Trustworthy and dependable, maintain a good attitude, discuss things lovingly, openly, and honestly, be satisfied with your position, possessions, and tasks. If any of you are reading the Love and Respect book right now, early on they talk about, I don't know the exact phrase, but his wife could be right at the top of her lungs. Or kind of a thing. It was like she was right, but she wasn't handling it properly, so he was not accepting it properly. So a lot of times, wives, you got the inside track, but because we're prideful egomaniacs, a lot of us guys, you need to gently, softly, lovingly tell us what we're doing wrong or just suggest maybe another course. Be satisfied with your position, possessions, and tasks. Be long-suffering, forgiving, and forbearing. Show an interest in his problems and concerns. Be an industrious, frugal, diligent, ambitious, and creative team member. Offer suggestions, advice, and corrections when needed in a loving fashion. Keep yourself beautiful, especially in the inner person. Maintain a good spiritual life. Cooperate with your husband in raising the children. Build loyalty to him and the children. It's terrible if you see a family where the husband and wife are they're married. It's not like it's a divorced couple, and they're playing the children. You know, who's your favorite, and playing off the children. That's a very bad situation. So you want to build loyalty to the husband in the children as a wife. Be grateful to him and show confidence in his decisions. Last final paragraph before we open it up for you guys from Wayne Mack's book Wives. God calls you to be in submission to your husband, to be his unique and suitable helper. To some extent, we have seen what that means in our class here. But knowing what it means is of little value unless it is applied to your relationship with your husband. Knowing the facts will not promote oneness in marriage, but performing them will. So, comments, questions, additions. You had some really good ideas there about what the wife can do. John?
Yeah, just in addition to being a helper, we've been married 40 years, like you guys have, and one thing that my wife is really good at is I think she knows me in some ways maybe better, maybe as well as I know myself. Or
in some ways, probably better. I know that's true of Dawn.
She's able to anticipate things that I need, sometimes even before I know I need them. And that's really helpful. You know, I'll wear myself out, or, you know, and I don't think I need anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very self-sufficient, but she'll come with something, or some comfort, or maybe even it's just a drink or something. But I mean, she really is able to anticipate where I am, and I appreciate that. But that you know, you can do that at any stage, but I think
sure
that's something that can take time too.
Sure. Anybody else? Summer.
Something that I saw in Seth and I's marriage that changed for the better is when I started being like genuinely interested in his day, whether it was he was off at work or if he went out with friends or something like that, and asking him questions and not just waiting for him to be done telling me about his day so I can tell him about my day. But like with his new job, he is so excited about it, and half the time I have no idea what he's talking about, because he's talking about bows and fishing stuff and Traegers and grills and all that stuff, and he just talks in detail about it, and I'm just, yeah, that's really cool.
Does he work at Shields?
Yeah.
Well, you should be excited about the discounts. Good.
Yeah, but just being genuinely interested in, and then in turn he shows genuine interest in me and what I did throughout.
Good. Very good, Summer. Thank you. All right, guys, you are dismissed. Next week, the husbands. You husbands, you show up. Wives, you bring your husbands here.